Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. That's the Drifters bringing this back. I'm Jim Blasingame. Did I say that? Well, I didn't say that Walter Kieschel III is here, because I know I didn't say that. And but let me say it again. Walter Kieschel III is here. I always like telling you about when Walter joins us. He's the author of The Lords of Strategy. Walter, you want to give us a website and tell us how we can find your book?
Just look for thelordsofstrategy.com.
All right, so check that out. And also, wherever books are sold, it's a very important book, ladies and gentlemen. Walter, we've been talking about the capability part of strategy, making sure that you've got a foundation of human capability, of strong teams, people who can execute. Strategy has to have a foundation under it, because strategy is the tip of the iceberg, isn't it?
It is. It's just the sort of the beginning. It's the one version of strategy, say it's just the general direction that you go out and head in,
right.
But then you get encounter reality, and then what's important is how you learn from that, adapt to it, and maybe, if necessary, change your strategy.
So,
but that gets to that, to our point about being adaptable and having your people or yourself really listening to customers, listening to the market, and being prepared to filter what you hear back into your strategy-making thinking.
The third section of my book that I've got coming out this year, The Age of the Customer, is about how the age of the customer is affecting big companies and how it's disrupting them more. They're going to have more difficulty adjusting to the age of the customer disruptions than small businesses are. And one of the things is they're going to have to get closer to the customer and more nimble with the customer. They're going to have to find a way to stoop down and be more human on Main Street, which is the wheelhouse of small business.
That's really true, and you already see, I'm sure you're writing about this, but signs of this, when you have, say, the CEO of Procter & Gamble, a huge consumer goods company, talking about how they want to get more than 50% of their new products, they're gonna go out and they're going to buy up products that have been begun by small firms, or buy up the small firms themselves, rather than waiting for the laboratories of Procter & Gamble.
You know what I wish they would do? I wish they wouldn't buy them. I wish they'd just do business with them.
Interesting.
Because when they buy them, they ruin them.
Yeah, no, that's
now,
true.
I'm saying that selfishly, Walter, because for the person who started that company, God bless them, they deserve it. If P&G will give them $1 billion for the company they started with, you know, on the back of a napkin, God bless them. I hope it works out for them. But other than that, I wish they would just do business with them, because we don't need to be absorbing. We don't need, well-run companies don't need to be absorbed into the abyss of a conglomerate.
I've been a business journalist for more than 30 years, and one of the things, I completely agree with you on that point, but and one of the real verities, I think, is that that more than 80% of acquisitions which take over a company like that, or mergers, end in failure. They don't achieve the objectives that they set out and had in mind, financial
right.
or otherwise.
Right. So, well, and it's usually because they wind up with the patents, they wind up with the products. But the bigger organization will just absorb the little one, and whatever special sauce they had, whatever cool entrepreneurial energy they had, just goes away. It's just extinguished.
There's a wonderful story from the 90s when one of the big consulting firms thought it had to get into information technology, so it bought for, I think, $200 million, a 20-man consulting firm, 20-partner consulting firm, and then a year later, only two of the consultants from the firm that had been acquired were still there, and they were described as, I don't know, the $20 million men.
Right. That's right. Well, yeah, exactly, and that's what happens, and now here's the thing, though, Walter. I predict that's what I said a minute ago will be more about the future. I think companies will say, wait a minute, we don't have to capitalize all that. We can sign contracts, we can sign licenses,
right.
We can do exclusivities, et cetera, and let them be special like they are.
It certainly gives you more flexibility.
And it gives capability to the big company.
Right, right.
That they didn't have, that they sought out. Last thoughts, quickly.
Be aware of the capabilities that you have, that your people have, and look constantly to upgrade them, not just the technical ones, but the face-to-face ones.
Yeah. Walter, well said. Well done. Thanks for being here. Good job, as always.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
A lot of fun today. Walter Kieschel III, ladies and gentlemen, I told you we'd get smarter when Walter joined us. He'll be back another day. I'll be back, but not today. I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.